Fuzzy TV.
I just love it, knowing that I'm talking to new people every day. The subscriptions have doubled. We get about 50 new subscribers every month. Hey, not setting the world on fire here, but this thing's growing in the growth of God. As you know, I don't do one single thing to promote this channel. That is all you. You're sending it out. People are getting it. It's showing up in their searches. I don't know how it happens. I don't know how it happens. I'm just thankful that it does. And I'm so happy to tell people that they can have an independent walk with God and Christ. And in fact, that's the only way to walk with God and Christ independently, because all the institutions are fraudulent. They're fraudulent. Many of you who are hearing me, maybe for the first time, you've had this spiritual instinct. I'm always giving people credit for this. They always say, you know, I knew there was something wrong with the institution. I just couldn't put my finger on it, but it seemed like they were just a bunch of hypocrites. They are. They are. Your spiritual instinct has saved you. And then people start looking. But, you know, when you think that, you think you're crazy. Well, does anybody else see this? How can so many people be wrong? How can such a beautiful building be the home of Satan himself, dragging the name of God through the mud, and millions of people accepting it? Millions of people accepting that God will torture the majority of the human race for whom he sent his son to die for, to save. Who in the world could tolerate that? I'll tell you who. Millions and millions of people. Because the whole thing has been systematized. The Apostle Paul calls it the systematizing of the deception. Believe me, this is the slickest thing that Satan has ever done. This is the most deceptive organization on the face of the earth. And as I told you yesterday, the biggest, the hairiest, the stinkiest, the most malevolent spiritual beings out there, including Satan himself, are in the church. But they disguise themselves with a sheen of acceptability, with a sheen of righteousness. And again, you can't make this up. Just go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I think it's around verse 14. Well, you know what? I think it's around verse 14. I'm just going to go there before I get into the topic of the day. Hopefully I'll remember what the topic of the day is. Oh yeah, I remember it. I remember it. This is just such an amazing passage. And with the passage of 40 years for me of contemplating this, it just amazes every time. In verse 13 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is talking about those who would steal the freedom of the Corinthians, who would take them away from their single-mindedness to Christ. And he calls such people false apostles, fraudulent workers. The entire Christian religion is a fraud. Fraudulent workers being transfigured into apostles of Christ. Transfigured into apostles of Christ. And again, who can be transfigured into an apostle of Christ except a Christian? Nobody else can be mistaken for an apostle of Christ. You hear the name Christ there? And no marvel, Paul says, here's verse 14, that's where I thought it was, for Satan himself is being transfigured into a messenger of light. Satan was not always this way. He used to attack directly, but since the crucifixion of Christ for the sins of the entire world, because of the success of the cross, the blood which will eventually bring the entire universe back to God. Because of that, Satan now has to lie his head off, and he has to take a different route, and it's a route of deception. And it's a route of hiding behind this sheen of acceptability. It's just such a shocking verse. I never get over it, really. Satan himself is being transfigured into a messenger of light. It is no great thing, then, if his servants and those who are operating the Christian religion, including the pastors, the teachers, everybody who has an active role in promoting the false teachings there, are being transfigured as dispensers of righteousness. Transfigured as dispensers of righteousness. They seem to be dispensing righteousness. But the God they teach of, calling him a God of love, is actually a monster that if you look at him the wrong way, if you don't believe in him in the right way, if you don't do it at the right time with the right sincerity, he will send you to hell. He will burn you forever and ever and ever. Sounds a little bit vindictive. Sounds like he's got a mean streak. Sounds like he's got a drug problem or something. No, he's a lunatic. But I call him the crazy uncle in the attic, because the people in the church, the leaders, the teachers, they don't talk about that much. They put eternal torment up there in another category. You have to go to their statement of faith in their, at their websites to find out that that's what they believe. They don't like to talk about it. Why not? If it's true, that's the thing you should talk about the most. But they don't want to talk about it. Why? Well, it turns people off. Well, yeah, no shit, it turns people off. Yeah, that the God they're worshiping and singing about is that freaking dangerous? He's codependent? He only loves people who love him? Oh, they keep him hidden away, and they only talk about it when they have to. I would love for somebody to ask these people at a funeral, where's Bill? Where's my Uncle Bill? And everybody knows Uncle Bill was a gambler, a womanizer, never went to church. Do any of them tell the truth? If Bill wasn't a believer, I can tell you exactly where Uncle Bill is. Uncle Bill's dead right now. So is the Apostle Paul. So is Adolf Hitler. It's not time for the resurrection of the dead yet. When Bill is resurrected at the great white throne, he will be judged by God. And if his good works are better than his bad works, he will pass on to the new earth. There's a new heavens and a new earth. I didn't make it up. Revelation chapter 21. There's also a thing called the lake of fire. That's true, but that's the second death. What's death? The absence of life. But what happens after that? Well, after that, everybody comes out of the second death. And they enjoy the life that Jesus Christ procured for the entire human race at the cross. So some people get saved earlier, some people get saved later, but they all get saved. Where in the world do you find that in the Bible? 1 Timothy 4:10, God is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. Believers get more. It's a great thing to be a believer. I encourage people to believe the gospel, but in order to proclaim the gospel, here's something that's not very widely known, is you have to know the gospel. The gospel is not believe in God as soon as you can or else. Believe in God today or else. That's not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ successfully took away the old humanity and he delivered to God a new humanity. And God sees the whole world now in a peaceful way. I'm not making that up either. How could I? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. God was in Christ conciliating, that is making peace, conciliating the world to himself, not reckoning their offenses to them. Not reckoning their offenses to them. But what's the first thing Christian pastors and teachers do? They reckon your offenses to you. They take your offenses, they wrap them around your neck like a piece of steak, and then they sick the wolves on you. This is your fate. God hates you right now. What do I have to do to make him like me? Come to the altar. Come to our church. Come to the altar. Say the sinner's prayer. We're going to play some nice music to get you in the mood. Come to the altar. Is that all? Well, you need to come to our church every week. Is that all? Well, we need to dunk you into water. Dunk me into water? Why? What does the water do? I thought you said I was saved by Christ. Well, it's just kind of an insurance policy. We don't exactly trust Christ, you see, so the water's a little, just in case. Okay, will that be all then? Well, actually, you have to not sin again. Try hard not to sin again. You can sin a little bit, but if you do any big sins, forget it. You probably never were a believer in the first place. But come to the altar. But you have to be sincere. You can't come to the altar like half-heartedly, like, I guess I better go. Everybody else is going up to the altar. I guess it's my turn. No, you can't do it that way. You have to be sincere. But what if I'm not sure if I'm sincere and I end up being tortured in my mind for months and years, perhaps, wondering if I actually did it right? Well, that's a good thing, because you should question every day whether you're pleasing God. Because God could change his mind. He's quite capricious, yeah. He's watching you like Santa Claus watched you when you were a kid. You know, just as scarier Santa Claus. Same beard, same tricky disposition. God's making a list, checking it twice, finding out every moment if you're naughty or nice. If you're naughty, if only he would put a chunk of coal in your stocking. But no. That's Santa Claus's way. That's mean, I'll say. put a chunk of charcoal in some kid's stocking? That's mean. And the kid probably even put cookies out for Santa Claus. That's mean. I was told sometimes Santa will give a switch, like a stick from a willow tree or something. Santa's not there to whip the kid with it, but maybe his parents will do it. Santa leaves it as a strong suggestion to the parents. Use this on the kids. Ho, ho, ho. Maybe this year you got presents from Santa Claus. That's this year. It's only because when Santa checked his list, checked it once, checked it twice, he found out that at the last minute you were nice, but you have to keep that going. Oh, if only God were as good as Santa Claus, but no. Rather than a lump of coal, God sends you to an awful place called hell, where Jesus never said hell. Jesus said Gehenna and Hades. These are different things. There's no such thing as a place of eternal torment, just so you know. I wrote a book about it. If you want it, go to my website, martinzenner.com. It's called Martin Zenner Goes to Hell. It's simple. It's written on an eighth grade level, because I generally think on an eighth grade level. It's a short book, a 45-minute read. And I was just told by a friend of mine who is in prison, I send my books to him, and he distributes the books among the prisoners. And just today, in fact, he put me on the phone with a guy named Mike. And, of course, I'd never heard of Mike, never talked to Mike before, but Mike says, Mr. Zenner, I just want to tell you that your friend and mine gave me your book, Martin Zenner Goes to Hell. Dude, he said, dude, that book changed my life. You lay it out right there. You say how, you write about how the Bible has been generally mistranslated by the common English versions. You show the right version. And when I saw this, it became obvious then. The lie that I was being told for all those years, and my spirit soared, the weight of eternal torment, not just for my loved ones, but for myself, me doubting every day whether I'm good enough, or whether I repented good enough, or whether my mood was right, and whether my disposition was acceptable to God. I've been worried about that every day. Now you tell me that God accepts me in Christ, and that God has a plan whereby every single human being, sooner or later, will come to God to live happily for eternity. Martin, that sounded like a fairy tale at first. So this can't be true. But then I read verse after verse after verse after verse after verse. How many verses can you stuff in one freaking little book, sir? I said, I could put quite a few verses in there. Well, you did it. And after I read this book, I'm delivered. I'm at peace for the first time. God accepts me as I am. He died for me as I am. He died for me in my worst condition. And now what can I do to improve his opinion of me? Nothing. Oh, Martin, I got to tell you, that book changed my life. That was certainly satisfying to hear. God is at peace with you. Which is not to say that God doesn't do hard things. Of course he does. But everything is intentional. There are no accidents. And God is he's orchestrating all the events in life to bring you to a mature understanding of him. And if you are hearing my words now and believing them, then God is calling you to come in early. Everyone comes in at the end. And that's a scriptural truth. But not everyone comes in early. It's a special call. There is such a thing as the elect. And if you're hearing this message, and if you want more, and if you are asking yourself, can God really be that good? Oh, he is. He's better. God says he will do above and beyond anything we are able to apprehend. He's better than you think. So he's certainly not the heinous monster and really failed clown of what Christianity paints him. They like to put the words out there, God is the Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior. His grace is forevermore. It is. Tell the people in burning in hell that His grace is forevermore. No. If you see through that, you have a spiritual instinct. And God is filling you with your desire. For those of you listening whose desire is to know God, that was my big thing back in 1979. I wanted to know God. I had watched a movie, a television series, Jesus of Nazareth, and I was watching the crucifixion scene, and it just wrecked me. It wrecked me. Why did that innocent man have to suffer so much? Something big was going on there, something really big. I was raised in the Catholic Church, and as a kid, I kept looking up at the crucifix. And I knew it was the center of everything. I knew something big happened there, but I just didn't know what it was. How would I possibly know what it was? Being in the Catholic Church as a kid, being run through that mill, having to confess my sins every month and say prayers to get rid of my sins. I always thought God had a certain smell. I thought, and when I was in the Catholic Church, I thought God had a certain smell. So I would go into the confessional and, oh, that's God's here. No, actually, that was Old Spice. I was the priest is wearing his aftershave, Old Spice. I figured, if Jesus Christ forgave my sins, why do I have to tell this Old Spice guy my sins? And then why do I have to say, Satan, our Father, Spirit, Holy Mary, glory be to service. Why do I have to say 25, 30 prayers to get rid of my sins? How would I know what Christ did at the cross from that? How would I know from that? It's a complete sham. Oh, the Catholic Church is a complete sham. So are all the other branches of Christianity. As I said yesterday, Jesus Christ is not a Christian. People ask me, are you a Christian? I say, no, God, no. Oh, no, 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 no. I believe in Jesus Christ. Well, how are you not a Christian? Well, because Jesus Christ himself is not a Christian. Christianity has become a popularity club. I'm not a joiner, you see. I like to read the Bible stories back when Jesus was walking around, talking to tax collectors and sinners and hanging out in the bars, talking to the people on the edge of society. Well, didn't Jesus go to church? Right, he went to church when it was time to die. Yeah, it was the church people that killed Jesus Christ. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. The church people killed Jesus Christ. And they will do the same thing today. Because if you begin to accept what Jesus Christ did for all humanity and that his sacrifice was a success, and then they will want to kill you. Nothing irritates these people more than to hear about the success of Christ. Isn't that weird? But that proves that they don't love the truth. They don't love the truth. They claim to love the truth. We love the truth. We love the truth. We love the truth. Well, I just told you the truth. Why do you hate it? I just told you that God's the Savior of all humanity. That's not me telling you. 1 Timothy 4:10. And the verse I just read from 2 Corinthians 5, that God is at peace with the world, at peace. That's not what they tell you, is it? He's ornery, he's angry, and he's just waiting for you to do the right thing. It's not at peace. You start out according to them, but sinners doomed to hell. Well, that's not true. And I'm happy to tell you it's not true. So keep watching this show. I'll just lead you through the scriptures. I'm not some kind of guru. I'm just a guy who over 40 years ago read the scriptures for myself after I cried out to God after I saw that movie on TV and I said, I have to know you. I have to know you. That's what I said. I was 19. I said, I have to know you. I have to know you. What happened at the cross? What happened at the cross? What happened at the cross? And he's told me over the years what happened at the cross. And it's bigger than I ever thought. It's bigger than they ever told me. They don't know anything in the church. They don't know anything. They're not some of the stupidest people on earth, but they act like they're the wisest people on earth, especially those who have been to the seminary, and they have degrees, and they strut around, just like the Pharisees did back in Jesus' day. Oh, and they strut around. We're the people. Bow down to us. Plebes, bow down to us. Scum, bow down to us. Hoi polloi. Nothing's changed. They were that way in Jesus' day. They're that way now. And Jesus is still wandering around outside the institution. That's where you'll find him. That's where you'll meet him. You can have an individual walk. Read the scriptures correctly translated. You will find a God greater than you were ever told. And even the God I'm telling you, a God who is the Savior of all humanity, a God who is operating everything, all things in accord with the counsel of his will, a God whose love will not stop until it brings the last sheep into the fold. That God that I'm telling you about, and guess what? He's even better than that.